Instagram.
A grand dog with me. Hey, Scott, are you there?
You have a dog in the studio?
I'm not with me in the studio, no. But I do have a grand dog that came to visit us for about a week. So.
Oh, well, congratulations.
Well, thank you. My eldest son and his family are all out visiting my youngest son in California. So rather than spending the money to pack the dog into the airplane, and it's kind of, I don't know if that's cruel or not, but they just didn't want to do it, and we didn't want to have them do it, so we've got her.
Oh, very nice. Well, that, you know, we're starting on such good news. I hate to make this a bone-picking hour.
Uh-oh. What's the good news?
Well, let's start off here, because
why did you say we're starting off on good news?
We spoke. Well, it's kind of interesting since last we spoke that we had a meeting at the studio last Wednesday.
We did. Uh-huh.
And that was really the first time I had seen you.
That's right.
Since probably the end of February, beginning of March.
Yeah.
Now, you attest to the audience that, you know, I'm alive and well at this point.
Oh, you look a little peaked.
Oh, did I?
No, you didn't. Looked fine.
What was the company I was with? It was a peaked company.
That's so true. That's true.
Kind of getting damp.
The only good thing about that meeting was Linda.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, it was interesting because I had seen Sean. And at one point, Terry had stopped by to drop off something, so I had seen him. And Linda, I did see at the fair. So you were the only one that I really had not seen.
Are you trying to make me feel guilty that I didn't come
visit
you?
Yeah, you never visited
you
during this whole ordeal. What is that?
Well, I didn't think you wanted me around. So.
Well, no, I mean, but anyway, did I look frail? Did I look like I was about to keel over?
You look just like you looked when you left here in February. So,
again, because this is my goal now that this is over, is to tell people you can make it through it, you can be fine on the other end, and everything's okay.
Yeah. Well, for some people, everything is okay. But then there are other people, like with this COVID thing. A lot of people were fine all the way through the whole thing. And then a lot of people who, you know, even the ones that had their shots and everything suffered a lot. So,
I don't want to get too much into this because I think it sounds... No, not what you're saying. But I don't know if I've ever told this story on the air because I can't remember what I did 10 minutes ago.
Okay.
But it kind of speaks to this. At one point during this whole ordeal from March until June... at one point, I did have to go into the hospital for one night because a medicine they had given me, it wasn't an allergic reaction, I don't think, but it was a just a, an, a reaction that, that they wanted to keep an eye on for 24 hours.
Sure, that happens.
So I was in the hospital, feeling fine, and some of the nurses came down to do an X-ray. And
they just wanted to see the celebrity that was in the hospital.
That's right. They want to come down and get my autograph. So they come down, and they're and I'm having to move all around in the bed, you know, so they can get the right angle of the X-ray and all that. And when they went to leave the room, they turned to me and they said, "You have the happiest attitude we have ever seen with anybody with this illness in the hospital."
Well, that's nice.
And then, because you see doctors periodically, the doctors have all said the same thing. Not that I'm the happiest, but they have said, you know, you really have a positive attitude. And I'm not saying that positive attitude is number one, but I think if you do have a positive attitude, I think it does help.
I've always felt that way. I truly have. Now, there are things that I don't want to have to deal with, but I try to keep a positive attitude that I'm going to be the same me tomorrow as I am today. Yeah, I like positive
attitude.
That's
right. But you know what? I've always thought about this, and I don't know why I'm a long-term thinker. Like, I always thought, well, what if I developed an illness where I could not walk? What would happen if I – and you know what I've always thought? If I can read, if I can listen, if I can talk, you know, I think you can get through anything because it's not about looking at the problem you have. Oh, I can't walk. And being miserable about that. But, hey, what can I still do here?
Sure.
And I think that's it.
When I was a young man, one of my daydreams, I have daydreams that bolster me, that help me lift myself up. And one of the daydreams I had is, what would happen if all that would move on my entire body was just my head? And I got so that I was okay with that. I would be fine with that. And that's kind of where you're coming from. So maybe you and I have similar brains. I don't know.
Well, I hope not. Well, you know what? I don't know if that's a win-win or a lose-lose. But now here's the bone I have to pick before I forget about it.
All right.
Now, obviously, I have come to the studio a little more. And I'll be back full-time in the studio, not next week, but the week after.
Okay.
And here's the deal. So before the fair, I came into the studio, and I had not been there for a while prior to the fair. And the lights were knocked down.
Yeah, they were.
And they were kind of slid under the rug.
Well, I put them under the rug so somebody wouldn't trip over them and so that you wouldn't hurt them if you stepped on them. I didn't know how to get that
up there.
So.
Right, but I guess, I mean, people came in and out of the studio, and nobody put them back up, which is not a big task. I mean, the nails were still in the wall. But so anyway, I put them up that day I was there. And then I did not go to the studio for a while again. And I was there on Monday. And I came in on Monday, and not only were the lights down again, but the picture of Flippo the Clown was on the floor, frame broken.
Oh, no.
And the Fritz the Night Owl picture was on the floor. And, you know, again,
what's going on?
I'm not saying they don't, but what? And that was not the case last Wednesday when I was there, so it had to happen between Wednesday night and Monday night. And why didn't somebody say anything? Why didn't somebody put the light back up?
Oh, I did tell you that the lights were down. When the lights were down, I did tell you that the lights were down, and I put them under that rug to protect them. My wife will not let me get up on a ladder anymore, so I didn't want to climb up and put those lights back up. And
oh, no.
I didn't know how.
No.
So.
No, and I'm not suggesting you or Linda should have done that. What I'm saying
Linda should
is
have.
there are people who could have.
Okay.
And
they're up and on right now.
Yeah, well, that's good. But, you know, I don't know why I'll never get anybody to admit to breaking the picture.
Well, the same person that broke the picture lost the key, I think, to the bathroom.
Well, I it is a weird thing to me. Like, what are we going to do? Are we going to take them out back and cold cock them? I mean, I don't.
I don't know what cold cocking is, but yeah, I don't understand that either. I don't know. How did they come down? Why would they have come down?
I don't know. I mean, maybe they opened the door too hard.
Oh,
maybe
you can't
somebody bumped into the wall. I don't know what happened.
In a drunken stupor, one of our announcers bumped into the wall and knocked all the lights down.
Well, here's my theory on the thing. I think somebody is turning on and off the lights when they are there, and because the lights are hooked to a power strip, if you yank on that too hard or something, you will knock the lights down. That's why we have that power strip sitting on a stool.
Yeah.
And if you yank on that or pull on that because you don't want to bend up or down, that will happen.
Well,
because there's not much slack there.
It didn't take me very long to figure out that I couldn't yank on that. The first time that you weren't here and I had to turn the lights on, I figured that out pretty quickly.
Yeah, but you know what? I could not leave a studio at this age. You know, if I was, because there are reasons that you don't want seniors up on ladders. But at this age, I could not, if I knocked something down like that, and I could not walk out the door and just step over it and wait for the next person to deal with it.
What did I do right by putting it under the rug?
If you were 30, could you do that?
Oh, sure. I would have done it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
You mean, would I have just stepped
over
it?
Just walked out.
Oh, no. If I had been, well, you know, I hate to use being older as an excuse why I didn't want to climb up on something, but recently I've noticed I'm a little wobbly when I climb up on something, so
oh,
I don't do that much.
Right,
anymore.
And I'm not saying you or Linda should have. I'm just saying if you had done it, and I'm not even saying people who didn't do it should or did not do it should do it, but if you at 30 or 40 or 50 had knocked that down, the lights and the picture, would you just walk out, leave everything in the middle of the floor, and, hey, the next person, that's their thing to deal with?
Yeah, when I found it on the floor, I kind of wondered why it was on the floor and why it wasn't put back up. But, again, I didn't really feel comfortable getting up. But I did cover it up with a rug so that people wouldn't trip over it and wouldn't break it.
Right. No, but at 30 years old, would you have done that, just left it?
No. Don't think
so. And that's what I don't understand. And I also noticed when I was there on Tuesday.
Who are you saying is 30 years old? You're not even 30 years old.
No, but, well, let's say 50.
Okay.
50
well,
is the cutoff
either.
Point for getting up and on a ladder, I think.
Okay, all right.
maybe 60. We'll say 60. So I also noticed, because we have books on the table over there, I noticed, and because I don't sit where the guests sit, there's a pile of books under the table that
is
I know
really?
Was not there when I left.
Well, I did see them fall down once. Three of them fell down, and I picked those three up. But they're back up there. So are they still under there? I'll pick those up today.
No. This is not an indictment of you.
No, but I don't
I'm
like
just saying,
that either.
This goes back to conversations we've had for years. Remember the key to the facilities?
Of course
the old
I do.
Building?
Of course I do. I was blamed for that.
The trash being taken out?
Yeah. And I didn't do that.
You know, I don't understand. I mean, it's not a crime to do something. And it's not a crime, I guess, if you don't report it. But the problem is why would you just leave it for the next person?
Well,
the next person could walk in and fall down.
In the infamous words of Dr. Ronald Feynman, you don't pay me.
Oh, is that the reason?
I don't know. I'm just throwing that out.
Oh, by the way, I had Dr. Feynman on my show
yes,
last Thursday.
He told me he was going to. How did that work out for you?
Well, he liked it.
Good. He liked it. Okay.
I got a very nice message from him. And
yeah.
You know what I've noticed? He's a lot different on my show than your show.
Well, he's fired up when he comes on my show because I've given him a list of questions that we're going to talk about. So I think he's pre-prepared for all this. He likes to get on there and get fiery.
Well, it's interesting. And I'm not saying he wasn't fired up on my show, but I think it's And it's nothing wrong, and so I don't want anybody to take this the wrong way, but I think this is the difference between an interviewer and an editorialist, is that if you agree on something, you tend not to ask many questions about it because you agree about it. So basically, you just talk about...
Yeah.
What's that?
You already have in mind what the answer is, so yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what the answer is because you've already come to a conclusion.
Right.
And so you basically just commiserate about the issue. And with me, I'm never going to commiserate with Dr. Feynman about any issue he has. I'm just going to ask him why he feels that way, how he got to that point, what about this, and I think that's what makes it different.
Yeah, it would. It would make it very different because Dr. Feynman and I are pretty much on the same same track, so, yeah.
Right, and that's just style. That's not anything one person's better than the other, but I think it does make an interview different.
It does. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I just found him a little different, and I, to be honest with you, I don't remember exactly what we talked about. It was just the news of the day. I think we talked about January 6th. I think we talked about Roe versus Wade, I think. But it was interesting.
Yeah.
He was not nearly as fired up about the John Adams thing, because I started with that.
Oh, me. Well, that's good. Now, he calls me or messages me. You know, you can actually message, video message on Facebook, and he video messages me quite often the night before we're going to be on the air, and that's quite an interesting undertaking, especially since there's like a 5-second delay between when I hear him and when he says it. So you ought to come and watch one of those. My wife has to leave the room. She can't stand it.
What? It's a problem there.
Oh, it's the 5-second delay, and I'll say something, and he'll say, What? And I'll say it again. Basically, if I say it again, then I'm talking over myself to him. So, yeah, it's just a confusing thing. So,
well, and the other thing I want to bring up, just
sure.
Because Sarah brought it up there. Sarah and Trish brought it up before we went to break. Did you hear any of that last hour?
Yeah, I did. Mm-hmm. I listened to Sarah.
I mean, they were
Sarah.
Talking. Yeah. What? Yeah. Talking about the TuneIn app.
Yep.
And we spent the last hour last week debating this. Mm-hmm. And then during the meeting, there was a big discussion about it.
Sure.
And not so much to have that discussion again, but just to reiterate what I said to Sarah, because we were running out of time last hour, is that a lot of this is a financial issue. Now, it's interesting to me that the financial issue is not, did we do anything wrong? Because the hearing is not set until June of next year. Mm-hmm. What the financial part of this is they want you to have representation and almost demand, well, they do demand it, that you have representation, and that's where the financial part of it comes in. And not to say it on the air, but you heard last week what the financials of this are.
Yeah. Well, and I don't know how a government can demand you have representation because you're allowed by law to represent yourself, so... I don't know how.
Well, I think it's because it's not a trial and it's not in a court of law. It's being done. It's a hearing, and it's being done in an agency.
Well, what would
it's not in a courtroom.
What would they say if you said, "I'm not bringing a lawyer. I'm my own lawyer. Representation."
I think they would take the license right then because that was their ultimatum.
Oh, okay. All right. What?
So
it's a mess.
You know, I don't know. It's an interesting thing, but I will say this. On Monday morning, one of our devoted listeners, Ryan, who listens all the time in Marion, mm-hmm. called us from Put-in Bay and said he was listening on the TuneIn app, and he would be doing so every morning because he was on vacation this week up in Put-in Bay, and he said it's easy as pie to do,
mm-hmm.
and he was calling in to let the listeners know that. That it is easy to do.
Well, I've gotten on the TuneIn app, and I find it easier just to go to our website and click on Listen Online.
And there's that too. Absolutely.
That's the way I do it.
And we also, and another revelation since last week is, I did not realize that we had 3,600 people on our Facebook page, the WWGH Facebook page.
I didn't know that either. Yeah, that's cool.
3,600.
That's a lot of people.
we can go live on that page. And if you look there right in front of you, yeah, that's why I was there.
The little red light scared the heck out of me looking at me.
Yeah, yeah. That's why I was there Monday night. We installed a webcam in the studio.
Is it live right now?
So, no, it's not live right now.
Good, because I picked my nose.
Here in about 3 weeks, okay. People will be able, if they so choose, through Facebook, which I don't know too many people who aren't using Facebook at this point, mm-hmm. to send that out to our 3,600 subscribers to our Facebook page.
Fantastic.
And it'll just appear in their news feed, and they can listen live.
Is there any way to make me look better on it than I normally look?
Well, I'll tell you, it's an interesting picture, because it's somebody sitting there talking, but the lighting we're going to have to do something about, because in that room, the light is right above the table that we sit at.
Right. Correct.
So it really shines a lot of light.
We need to get one of those one of those round lights that, and put that right behind the, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Supposedly
those,
it makes a better light. Yeah. Yeah. Supposedly.
Yeah. I think we'll be able to do that. And the great thing about it is this is why we have to wait 3 weeks, because the camera is already there. But there's a cord that we can get that'll feed right from the soundboard to the computer. So not only will people be able to hear us through the microphone, not just an open mic, but they'll be able to hear the callers and the guests online as well.
Cool. That's really good. Yeah.
So not only will you be able to tune in or website, but you can do it on Facebook, which we already have 3,600 people subscribed to.
Well, if we do that, I struggle sometimes just to get the stupid thing on the air. If we do that, will I have to mess with the pots when we have the video going so that they can hear
that? No.
Okay.
No. The only thing, it won't be any different from doing a radio show. The only difference will be is before you start the show, you'll just have to, that other computer, the second computer there, Facebook will be up on it, and you'll just have to click go live, and then it'll plop it up there.
And to click that, I just hit that little white button, right?
Yeah, click that white button. It'll take you over to the other computer.
Cool.
Then you bring up Facebook, you click go live, and you'll be on.
Okay. Well, I tell you what, I may have to have a primer on this, but I'm for it. Except for I hate to see myself on TV.
And if we're talking about people who are seeing and listening to the show, I am sure there are people who listen on the radio. There's no doubt about it. But there are people who listen on TuneIn. There are people who listen on the website. And if you add that, 3,600 people, and I'm not saying every one of those 3,600 are going to sit there and watch it, but the availability to watch it, I think, becomes greater than the radio when you figure the actual wattage that we have.
I have a friend who does live on Facebook, and I never can figure out how the heck to get out of there once I turn it on. So I don't know that. But, you know.
Well, that's what we want. We want to lock them in.
I am 76 years old. Yeah, that's unfortunately what this whole world is about anymore, trying to lock you in to stuff.
Well, you know, I said it at the meeting last week, and I said it in the conversation with you last week about this. And the bottom line is, no matter how people feel, and we'll never know the statistics on it, if one person is hearing the program, I'm happy, because I think that's really what you're doing, broadcasting to one person. And I also think that I just think that if the program is good, that people will find a way to find it.
Okay.
That's all.
Okay.
Because I don't know, you know, I keep thinking about if we had started out on internet, which is a lot of ways radio stations go, if we had started out on internet, would this be such a huge thing? Because people would have already found it that way, and that would be our audience.
Well, it wouldn't be so huge, but there would be people that wouldn't be listening to us because they don't want to mess with it. There would be. Well, I think we get extra people because we're on the air.
That's probably true. But I think when I look back on, I think about Warren Harding starting the Marion Star and developing Delivery Boys. And I think about Bob Mason starting WMRN in 1940 and using to have to send people to people's houses to tune their radios.
That's cool.
I think that everybody who is a pioneer in a field in that city, there are going to be those moments in the beginning. I mean, when we first started, people didn't know 107.1 FM was a local station, and they certainly didn't know what we were broadcasting, and they certainly didn't know our schedule. I think the leg up we've got here is that people have heard the programming. People do know what we do. And still, if you want local news, local weather, free obituaries, and local programming, we still are going to be the only source in this town that does that, no matter what medium we come out of.
I think that's very important.
Yep, so do I. So that's that's the story on that. And as Sarah said, bake sales and whatever. We also did talk about fundraising ideas. And, I don't know. Maybe we will do those. I think that was kind of left up in the air after the meeting.
Well, after hearing some of the cost of lawyers, I'm not sure a bake sale will do it.
No, a bake sale might not do it. And you hate to go to your listeners for financials, but, I don't know. We might give it a shot once.
Well, if we're not on the air, we can do that. Whereas right now, we cannot raise funding. That's against the rules. So, and then we really would get in trouble.
I think you can do a radiothon as long as for the station itself.
I imagine that's true.
So we could get away with that. Now, I don't know how many people would want that. Well, maybe we should throw that out and say, if we did a radiothon, would people be interested in that?
Well, I'll tell you.
Over the airwaves.
When I listen to WOSU all the time. My wife and I listen to, NPR? Whatever, the televised version of public television. We listen to that all the time. But when they go to the raising funds, we've already given them some money. We don't want to listen to all that crap that they do for about 2 weeks. And it's really just Phil. So we turn it off. We don't listen to it until they get off of that stuff again.
Well, that's what I say. I mean, you have to ask the audience at some point, is that something you would want to hear?
Yeah.
A live radiothon. Mostly filled with entertainment, but, the idea is raising funds. I heard a story, and I think it is true, years ago that Ted Turner, his first station, I think the transmitter blew up or something, and he did not have the money to fix it, so he bought one on credit, and the station was not making much money, so the creditor said, if you don't pay us thousands of dollars by Friday, we are going to take your transmitter. And I guess he went on the air and just said, listen, if you want this programming to stay over the air and free, we've got to pay this transmitter off. And that's what they did. And he did raise the money and stayed on the air.
Good. Yeah, he was an innovator, if nothing else. Absolutely. Plus,
if people be interested in something like that, we'll call the station. And if you have any thoughts on this whole thing in general, call the station. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Now, we're not asking you to call in and give money now. We're just saying, would you be interested if we did something like that in the near future? Because I think this would be the time to do it while school's out and things of that nature. 740-383-9944.
And if you just want to give money to something, my wife and I could use a vacation.
Well, I will say this. I have talked to all of our supporters. Well, I guess I shouldn't say I have, but somebody has from the station. And I don't think, no matter how we're transmitted, that any of the shows will be going anywhere.
Yeah, actually, it might kick us in the derriere to get out and generate some revenue. Not sponsorship, but it could be sponsorship.
It could be at that point.
Yeah,
it could be.
I don't know.
I think it's also interesting that. As I say, when we started being here on day one, nobody knew what 107.1 was. Nobody knew that that was a spot on the dial for local area and stuff. Nobody knew what we were. Nobody knew our schedule. So for the first 6 months, that was the object, to tell people where you were, how you were. And doing that again might be a good thing.
I hate to start over again. You've got a good product going, and that's one of the things I don't like about it. But also, when you started 7, 8 years, 10 years ago, whatever it was, people knew how to get radios turned on. They didn't know how to pull in websites. Now, people are getting more savvy to that now, but I still think it was a lot easier if you had a number on a dial that when you get in your car, you can turn it on. And even if you didn't want to listen to 107.1, you were going to hit that every once in a while when you hit the search.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what the problem was. The problem was not that people didn't know how to turn radios on. The problem was that nobody knew we were local. You would have had to have stayed on the channel for 5 minutes or so to realize what it was. And you certainly didn't know when the live programs were.
No, I don't. And
that takes a long time. And the advantage we have now is we've been talking about this for a year, and we've never not told people about TuneIn. And people have heard our product. Back then, there was no product to sample. You had to tune in and listen to hear what we had. People don't have to do that now. I think the majority of the Marion community is aware of what we do.
I think you're over-optimistic on that, but okay.
Well, if they don't know what we do, it doesn't matter where we are.
Yeah, I really don't think over 50% of the people in Marion care. So I found that out just for being a politician.
Well, I'll tell you something funny. It's interesting to me that when I'm at the fair or at the grocery store, the people that recognize voices that have never called in, and I always think, there's no way to measure that, but people must be paying attention in some way.
Yeah, there is no way.
I'm not saying they listen from daylight to dawn. But they have heard something.
I think there are people that listen from daylight to dawn. But yes, and I've known this since I was on radio when I was 15 to now. I occasionally will have people say, "Do I know you?" Or, "I know your voice." Or, they recognize your voice quite often.
Well, and I'm also surprised by the number of people who I've never heard call in who come and say, "I want to be on the show." So they must be aware of the show, or I don't know why they're asking to come on.
Yeah, I've never had anybody ask.
It's a bad sign. We're not getting any calls in regard to should we do a radiothon.
Well, I don't think it's a bad. You just sprung it on them. they're thinking.
All I'm saying is, should we do it? Does anybody have an opinion on this? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944.
One of the things I've noted about the audience, that at least the ones that listen to your and my show and listen to my other two shows, we have a pretty sharp audience. The ones that disagree with me are just as sharp as the ones that agree with me. So I like having an audience that's smart, and we seem to have a smart audience.
Oh, I think that's true. Yeah. Speaking of that, this morning we did a whole story on Jim Thorpe, recounting his life and times.
Right.
Because
it was on the air
Friday,
this week, yeah.
Yeah, his awards were reinstated as the sole winner of the 1912 Olympics.
Yep.
And I don't know. I'm still split on this because it's 110 years later. He's dead. His kids are all dead. And, I'm glad it's been done because apparently it's something that should have been done. But he didn't live to see it. Apparently, he died very poor.
A day late and a dollar short on that deal. Yeah.
Yeah, it just, I mean, well, what do you think, reinstating these 109 years later?
I think if you can correct a wrong, which I think that was, you can, as soon as you open your eyes and you say, hey, that was wrong, if you can correct it, I think it's any time's a good time. You know, if we had not worried about slavery because, you know, it was just something, we never would have corrected that. And so, therefore, I think, I think it's a good idea to re-honor him. I wonder, when I was listening to some of the things they were talking about, Thorpe, Rose is, you know, if they ever do anything to correct how, I wouldn't say wrongly we have treated Pete Rose, but I think after he's passed, I think, or has he passed? No.
No, he's still alive.
Yeah, after he passes, maybe we will forgive him. And I always think it's I think you should forgive somebody at the moment that you can. The first moment you can forgive somebody.
Well, I think that's the school of thought with Pete Rose, is that they are waiting for him to die.
Yeah, I think so.
To put him in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I think so too. And he was a great baseball player. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, but I don't know that that's wrong. Because I think the theory with him is that he will try to profit off of that.
Yeah, maybe so. And Shoeless Joe Jackson and all the White Sox from those days gone by, they have never been forgiven for being corrupt. And I guess
Go
ahead.
What?
Nothing.
No, I just think Pete Rose's problem has always been he was given several chances in the last 30 years to come clean, and at every turn he didn't, and then he admitted himself, you know, when it first happened, he said he didn't do any of it.
Yeah.
Well, that was untrue.
Yeah.
And then he finally admitted, well, yes, I did bet, but I never bet on baseball.
My team.
Well, then we found out he did bet on baseball.
Yeah.
Then it was, well, yes, I did bet on baseball, but I never bet on my own team. Well, then we found out he did bet on his own team. And, you know, that's unfortunate.
Well, we have a strong desire in the United States, especially recently, just to lie our way out of stuff and to hell with the responsibility. So that's kind of the way we get what we pay for.
Well, I just think that has hurt Pete Rose's chances. Yes, I think back in 1980, whatever it was, 89, 90, when this all went down, if he would have just said at that point, yes, I bet on baseball, yes, I bet on my own team, it would have been a horrendous story at the time.
Yeah.
But there would have been no more to tell.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't have been years of denial.
Right.
And then coming clean.
Yeah.
And I think that's what baseball frowns upon.
That's kind of the way my mother used to treat me. If I told her the facts right off the bat, Dad wasn't called into the room. But if I tried to lie my way out of it for, you know, hours or even days, the reprimands were much worse.
Well, I mean, let's be serious here. You know, nobody is perfect in life, and Pete Rose is not perfect. The problem was...
Well, wait a minute. I thought you were. Didn't you tell me you were? Okay.
Yeah, well, there's me, but then there's everybody else. But when given the chance to come clean, to not do it, that's a problem.
What goes through your mind when somebody gives you the chance to come clean and you decide, I'm not going to come clean right now? I mean, he had to know that eventually that people were going to find out, didn't he? Maybe he's that stupid.
I
don't know.
I think he didn't.
Okay.
I think he must not have.
Apparently not. Or maybe just that ignorant about life.
Well, you never know how long you're going to live, and you never know what's coming around the corner, and you never know you know, maybe he was hedging his bets and thought, well, if I say this enough times, I can argue myself back into the game at that point.
Well, yeah, and
because
if
when you're first, yeah.
If you say it enough times, that's a theory that a lot of people have used. If you say it enough times, people start to believe you.
Yeah, well, and maybe that's what he thought, and yeah. I don't know, but I think, and also the way he has sold things to make money, and that has also, I think, tarnished
yeah.
his reputation to at least baseball.
Let's face it, very few people are as altruistic and as fair-minded as we need to be.
Well, yeah, it's a very tough thing, but yeah. I don't, you know what, I don't think that they do it on purpose. I think clearly Pete Rose had an illness.
Oh, yeah.
And he probably
gambling,
still
yes.
has that illness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's and like alcoholism. Think, yeah.
Yeah, I think a lot of wrong that's done in the world is done out of ignorance, just not knowing that it's wrong. And then I think a lot of it has to do with addiction.
Well, I'm absolutely certain he knew that was wrong. I think it was fully due to addiction. The addiction to
well, right, his situation.
Winning.
But I'm talking about people who, you know, how many people have done things wrong and then came back and said, well, I didn't know that that was the way things were supposed to go.
That's,
you know,
BS. Most cases.
Well, I don't, you know what, we did this whole Charter City thing.
Yep.
And now it is not going to go on the November ballot because
correct.
They don't have the votes.
They don't have the
and
time
And Brett
either.
Cornelius came yeah. on. What's that?
They don't have the time as well. I mean,
right, and Brett Cornelius came on and yesterday.
Yeah, I heard
and
it.
And said that, you know, he was not aware that that things lapsed into... Yes, I don't want to say law, it's not law, but things became a yes if you did not vote on them within 30 days of the time they were first read. Well, now he just didn't know that. Now, is that, I mean, I think that is just ignorance of a situation.
Yeah, I wouldn't have known that had I been in his situation.
Right,
becomes
so
the
I do
affirmative.
Think people do.
Yeah.
I do think people make decisions that sometimes are wrong because they don't know what is going on. They don't know all the rules.
That's one of the things I've always told people when I was running for office is that you have to educate yourself, period. You're the only person that's responsible for your own ignorance and your own intelligence. So I think a lot of people, I guess they think they know, but they don't really know. A lot of people think they know the answers, but have never done any educating of themselves.
Well, that's right, but I don't know that it... You know, you hear... Somebody will say to you, they'll go, you know, well, that's the way it's done. Well...
Yeah, I hate that expression.
Yeah, well, is that the way it's done, or is that not... What is the definitive point of it? And, you know, do we accept people's apologies? I don't know. You know, sometimes we do, sometimes we don't.
Yep, absolutely. Yep.
I don't know. I do believe people sometimes have done things... I'm not saying every case... But I think they've done things that they just were not aware was an issue. And I think that had they known it was an issue, because why would they do it? It didn't benefit them in any way. Why not do it the right way?
Well, I'll use this as an example. As a young person, I treated women or girls, whichever, I treated them... What we would say right now is poorly. I was an adult male. I thought I knew everything, and I would love to apologize to all the young. And I didn't do anything really bad, but you know I just didn't give them the respect that they deserve and required. I would like to go back and apologize to all those young women who I kind of lorded over because I was a male. You know, but. All I can do is do the best I can do right now.
Well, at the time, did you think you were doing wrong?
No, I did not. No.
There you go.
That's the way men were. And unfortunately, we're living the consequences of the way men were.
Listen, I have been, we have talked relationships on this station so many times, and I still stick to my idea that they are just complicated.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, anybody who says there's no problems, I don't think that's true.
Oh, they're dreaming.
And also, I just think that it's you know, people, there are so many things that can happen that are not of your own fault, that change things, and people do things you think they would never do, and people act ways you would think they would never act. You know, I just think it's a very tough thing to sustain if people are difficult.
I want to say, and we only have a few seconds left, but I want to say before we get off the air, I never did anything to anybody that I think hurt them in any significant way. I just didn't give them the respect they deserved.
Well, we will have a whole nother hour and about 15 minutes to talk about this.
All right, great.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.